Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for 1 week, or if you're listening to this in the catalog, for maybe an hour or some amount of time in between those two increments. It's the exciting conclusion of our search for the world's best shattered backboard dunk. If you missed part one, check it out now. It details why the broken backboard is so important and so under-discussed. It's a prime example of something that we as a people are completely misreading. We see broken backboards as one thing, but it's not. It's another. Go listen to the episode. We got a bunch of good comments and DMs, emails from last week's episode. The first was from VladdyLaddy82 on Twitter, who commented on the Drome Lane dunk. Why is this the first time I'm seeing this dunk? That is absolutely wild to me that our show, this podcast, introduced the Drome Lane dunk to someone. I presume they're of a certain age, which is totally fine. I'm honored that I've introduced that dunk, that moment into your life. It feels very good. K Neil KP on Twitter said, check out young Sabonis in Europe. Seemed to break it without using his weight. Straight impact shatter. Fucking love that sentence. Straight impact shatter. Fantastic. Perfect sentence. I'm taking it with me. If you haven't seen Arvydas Sabonis' dunk, we're putting it on our socials at First Ballot on Twitter, at First Ballot HOF on Instagram. I realize those should be the same. I've seen the dunk now. I can comment on it. It's a communist block dunk, if that makes sense. Total Iron Curtain dunk. CCCP all the way through. We really need Daryl Dawkins to nickname some Arvydas Sabonis dunks. Arvydas has a sweat-soaked Heather Gray t-shirt on under his ice-cold Russian national team jersey, and he just power bops it. He just cranks it, and K-Neil KP is right. Instant impact shatter. Very cool. Sabonis should have grabbed a mic and just dragged the thing and been like, if it dies, it dies. Past guest, Keith Fujimoto, the great Keith Fujimoto, gave a shout-out to the dunk scene in O, which is also now on our socials. Mekhi Phifer is so mad in that scene. I don't get it. And Julia Stiles is in that movie as well, which I didn't know. An incredible run in black films for some reason from Julia Stiles. Past guest Matthew Hollister said, if you don't listen to Dan Devine introduce the Drome Lane dunk, do you even like basketball? Full and hearty cosign there. Thomas Fant, at Winston Wolf on Twitter, who's been a tremendous friend of the pod, reminded us of the Bryant Reeves broken backboard dunk. It was actually a full honorable mention broken backboard segment that I didn't bring up during our recording because it went so long. Big Country's dunk was certainly in that. And it made me start realizing that we mentioned Akron during the record, if you listen to part one. We talked about how Akron is the home to broken backboards. Gus Johnson, Drome Lane from St. Vincent, St. Mary's in Akron. Again, we're presuming LeBron has broken a backboard at some point in his life. Well, how about this for colleges? The Oklahoma State Cowboys have two. Bryant Reeves, Big Country, and Jason Keep. If you've not seen Jason Keep's, it'll be on our socials. Jason Keep gets the steal and the rare two-man shattered backboard. Phenomenal to bust a backboard with a defender hanging on it as well. Jason Keep really seemed to appreciate the moment right away, which is a blast. Maybe we can anoint Oklahoma State the broken backboard capital of NCAA basketball. Fantastic. Chris Morris had a fantastic broken backboard in the NBA. That proves the point of how great broken backboards are. If you can make Chris Morris into a total badass, it's fantastic. Darvin Ham had a broken backboard in college, Texas Tech. Held onto the rim for as long as possible, which David Ostramskis reminded me allowed the time for there to be a great picture of Darvin's dunk, which then made the cover of Sports Illustrated. That's a key part of a great broken backboard image, holding onto that basket as long as you possibly can. Hats off to Darvin Ham. Okay, let's get into it. Part two of the best shattered backboard right here on First Ballot. The next panelist up, DA and the place to be, David Ostramskis, the floor is yours, the mic is yours. Here we go.
All right. Well, my pick happened on May 10th of 1992. And I got to give context since Dan did on his too. So May 10th is 2 days before Christian Laettner was selected to be on the Dream Team. Seven days before the Orlando Magic won the lottery, which was known as the Shaq sweepstakes. And 3 days after some Mix-a-Lot released Baby Got Back, which, believe it or not, was produced by Rick Rubin. Yes. Neil, I know you're a Rick Rubin fan. So huge. Did you know he produced Baby Got Back?
I did not. Amazing.
This is already one of the most important weeks in American history.
Yes. So May 10th is when a 22-year-old Shaquille, and this is, like I said, this is before the lottery. This is like 1 month after he decided to leave college. And he appears on an episode of NBA Inside Stuff. He goes to the Sports Club LA because he's hanging out in LA because his agent wanted him to play for the Lakers right from the beginning. So I know I'm going to take a while to get to this, but
take your time.
When he signed with Leonard Armato, Armato actually created an outline for him. And the very first line was, create a plan to get to the Lakers. That's how bad he wanted him there in LA. And this is when, remember, rookies could sign for any amount of money. But anyways, so this is when 22-year-old Shaquille O'Neal shows up to the Sports Club LA, where he's been practicing every week. He's been dunking all week long on these rims. And he plays a game of one-on-one with Ahmad Rashad on the greatest hoop show of all time, in my opinion, NBA Inside Stuff.
Let's go!
And then so what happens is, like Denzel playing Ray Allen and he got game, you know, Ahmad actually hits his first shot, which like shocks everybody. And then, you know, he ends up getting his second shot blocked. Shaq ends up getting the ball, takes a couple dribbles, tears down the backboard, and is just laying on the ground in a pile of glass. Like, he actually has glass on his face and his shirt. And I can show you all the behind the scenes footage later of this thing. His elbow is actually bleeding, and it's like, and everybody's panicking, but, and he doesn't care. Like, they're asking him, like, you okay? And he's like, fuck yeah, I'm okay. And then everyone's gathered around. Leonard Armato is like terrified. The people who run the LA Sports Club, they're scared. There's like seven people all gathered around Shaq while he's laying in the glass smiling. And Ahmad Rashad, being the amazing host that he is and producer, runs over. He starts screaming at everybody, move, move, move. So they all get out of his shot. And then he taps Shaq on the back and he goes, is that all you got? Like, that's just an amazing TV production moment. Which, Neil, I know you'll really appreciate.
Ahmad, I mean, it's just for a second, hats off to Ahmad. For him to have that line is so funny. For him to recognize that moment, hold on, this amazing thing happened. Don't let Shaq even get out of the glass yet. I got to come over and put this joke down. It's really, really good television.
Yeah. And then Shaq had this great line later on about this moment where he said, I think because he's like he said, he's been dunking on this basketball rim all week long and nothing ever happened. So for him to break it like on television on his first try, he said, I think this is the basketball god's way of letting earthlings know about the power that I'm coming with.
Fuck, man. Just
an amazing quote.
Fucking Christ almighty. Shaquille O'Neal, what a fantastic moment. Ahmad also has a line at the very end of this where he goes, hey, the score is 1-1. Yeah. Like, he's like, we got to finish this game because the score is 1-1. That's so good. Yep. It's a brilliant segment. It's a phenomenal dunk. This might be my personal favorite backboard breaking dunk. That doesn't necessarily need to mean anything, but it certainly might let you know which way I'm leaning. It is an absolute detonation. That fucking hoop leaps off the goddamn glass. It's really nasty. Paul, what are your thoughts of the actual dunk and the breaking?
That is a violent snap. That is, you know, to see Shaq tumble like that out of the air. I remember as a kid seeing it, and I was like, "Oh, that's got to hurt." And I think in his book, Dave, he talks about how close he was to getting even more injured if he had have been, I don't know, if he had been lying on the ground a little bit longer, or there's something about him becoming precariously close to even more significant injury. He sort of dodged a bullet on that one, a bit like the one in New Jersey.
Maybe that's the glass in the elbow thing. I hadn't heard that he actually cut himself.
Yeah. It's actually, I have footage of it, which, side story, I got in trouble for. If you know my history of kind of releasing footage that I shouldn't on in the NBA, doing two investigations on me because of it. Well, I have all the behind the scenes footage from that episode.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Where did you get this footage?
I have a connection.
Trying to make the block hot, Neil? What are we doing here?
No. So, yeah. So, Dan, I don't know if you know, I've gotten in trouble a few times for like releasing. I created a trailer from the original Last Dance. You know, the story behind it was that it was made like 20 years ago, and there's a bunch of footage that Jordan really hated. And when they were kind of holding up on when they were going to release it, I end up, because I have the full film, I was like, I'm just going to make a trailer out of it and put all this footage. And that thing got taken off pretty quickly. And and a lot of that footage never made it to the Last Dance, the final thing.
Do you still have
And then there's
footage?
Other stuff like J.R. Smith's blunder and the NBA Finals where LeBron's pissed and he's staring at the bench. You know, I put that video out the night of game. And so anyways, the same person, he hooked me up, and I have the behind the scenes footage of this. And it's just a whole lot of Ahmad Rashad just cursing.
Hold on. Before I want to get into the Ahmad Rashad cursing. I want to get it back. I want to have a quick question though. Do you still have the footage of that Jordan, the stuff that didn't go to Last Dance? Do you still have that footage?
I have the movie, and I'll give it to you.
Oh my God. Okay. This is, you need to work on the branding, your branding. You need to tell people that the NBA has a file on you. Do you hear what I'm saying? That needs to be in your bio. The NBA has a file on me. That's who I am. I'm David fucking Ostramskis.
And they were accusing a certain editor that worked there of releasing this stuff. And he, and you know, I know the guy, and he told me, he's like, you know, the NBA thinks I'm you. Like, they think I'm stealing this footage and just leaking it.
Okay. So, to speak quickly to the footage you have, the Ahmad Rashad swearing footage.
Well, it's kind of cool because at the beginning it starts off with they're asking like, you know, what do you want to do? And Ahmad, he goes, yeah, I want him to dunk on me and shit. So he flat out says he wants Shaq to dunk him, which this probably turned out better for him that, you know, Shaq just blew by him and tore down a rim and didn't actually dunk on him because he might have really been injured at the time. Oh, and then, and the funny thing is, so then after, you know, he gets up, Shaq is worried. Shaq's like, do I have to pay for this? And yes, it's so like, funny. Nah, hell no. And he goes, don't worry, the NBA makes billions. He's like, the NBA will be paying for this, and they're going to be paying $25 million to you. And I was injured too, so they're going to have to cut me a check.
David sends me some of this audio. Let me play some of it so everybody can hear. Let's listen to the first clip.
Which way you want me to go? Whichever way is your best way. Give me your best.
Explosion. Shaq's on the ground.
You okay?
Fuck yeah.
Shaq, you alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. Yeah, I'm good. God damn. Yeah, I'm alright. Yeah. No, I'm alright.
There's Ahmad.
Is that all you got?
Yeah.
So funny.
Guess that's the end of that game.
Oh, shit.
The NBA will be paying for this basket in for $25 million to Shaquille O'Neal. And me. I was hurt too.
And then here is Shaq worried about having to pay for it.
Yeah, you need to switch the water to wash the glass off. You gotta pay for this, man.
No, hell no.
So good. This behind the scenes footage that you somehow procured and released to the world that has Ahmad Rashad swearing and Shaq worrying about paying for the hoop and Ahmad being like, you're not gonna have to pay for that. It really heightens and adds to this moment. It's a special, special dunk. Thank you for submitting it.
Can I tell a story on why this thing was so special to me, this moment? All right. So it's kind of a parenting story too. All right. So growing up, I lived in a little town called Titusville, which is right next to Orlando at the time. So this is why it was so important to me and all of the Orlando Magic fans around there. All right. So like I have two teenage daughters and, you know, now they have nice iPhones and everything. But when they first wanted a smartphone, you know, and I don't want to spoil them. So I was like, all right, I'm going to buy them this really cheap, shitty, clunky, undependable Android phone, because they're gonna have to wait until they can get like a nice one and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And to Orlando Magic fans, we had a frustrating Android phone in the form of Stanley Roberts. So Stanley Roberts was our center that we drafted the year before Shaq. And you know, when you do like product comparisons on websites, you put up two things, it looks the same. So it's like, you just type smartphone. So if you looked at them both, it's like big 7-footer, strong LSU center.
Right.
But you know that one of them, like I said, is this going to break down? You're going to want to get rid of it after a year. And that's basically what happened. And the thing about Stanley is that he was the original backboard breaker. He actually broke a couple backboards during the Orlando Magic's practice. And his nickname at the beginning was rim record number 52 or 53. I forgot what number he wore, but that was his nickname. And this is now the truth. Stanley's even admitted it. When, by the time he left Orlando at the end of the year, his teammates nicknamed him Big Garbage. That's how bad he was. So Shaq goes on to become the Big Aristotle, the Big Cactus. Stanley left as the Big Garbage.
Oh my God.
So fantastic. Shaquille O'Neal was our new iPhone. We were just, yes. It's like we got a taste of what it would be like, right, to have a big LSU center, but it's like he didn't work out. So you know, this is how bad Stanley was. His first game against David Robinson, he was 1-for-7 from the field and he had 3 fouls and he only played 10 minutes. That's how Stanley did in the NBA. And
somebody come pick the glass out of the forearms and forehead and back of Stanley Roberts. He's been dunked on harder than anybody, any other basket in this entire podcast so far.
Yeah, well, hey, it gets worse for Stanley. So the funny thing is also,
it gets worse than the Big Garbage.
Paul, do you have an opinion? Have you seen the Inside Stuff segment that where Shaq rips off the hoop? Do you have any thoughts on that as the member of Dunk Comp that's with us today?
Yeah, so this is interesting because obviously David saw this dunk on Inside Stuff, but now I recollect that this dunk was part of my introduction to Shattered Backboards because I saw it on NBA Jam Session. It's part of the Rim Shaker segment, which opens with Daryl Dawkins talking about his exploits, and then you go on and see a whole bunch of other dunks, some pretty you know, pretty routine stuff. You know, your man Richard Dumas is in you got Kenny Williams throwing down LaFonso Wallace, and then out of nowhere they insert this particular clip and it hits you. It hits you real hard because, you know, everyone else seems to get off pretty lightly after they finish their dunks, and then Shaq comes in and obviously gets horizontal midair basically and hits the deck. It's so as a 10-year-old, it was like, okay, you could be put in a compromising position if this goes pear-shaped.
Rewatching this now, I find myself afraid for him. I know what happens.
Yes.
And I know he's fine.
Yes.
And I know he goes on to like the greatest career.
Yes.
And I'm watching this and I'm like, this man falls like flat down on his back like a wrestler taking a bump.
Yes.
And it's still like I'm concerned for his earning potential.
Yes.
And then as we later come to find out, that's actually going to be quite fine. And the Generals got him taken care of there. But yeah, it's such a great point, Paul, to point out like often these wind up being like expressions of grace in some other way, where it's like, yeah, these guys land down and you have like the glass comes down like snowfall or whatever. This is like, this is how wrong everything can go with the level of power coursing through these moments. And for it to actually still be fine. Yeah. Like David, your point, the quote about like this, I'm sorry, I forget who said the quote, but like, cause there's just been so much happening and I'm frantic, but that this is letting people know the power that I'm bringing to the sport. Like it really is. It's like a John the Baptist, like you're presenting to the world. This is what is about to come your way. Even now, I'm like, this is like imagining what could be coming. Like, well, you know, what fresh hell strides toward us? This is incredible.
Yes.
Fresh hell and power coursing. These are these are great sentences. They're all mine. I'm taking it with me.
So what Dan's talking about, that's what makes this so amazing, is because everything we know about Shaquille O'Neal, this was like the trailer for it. Like, this was the tier. Like, this is what's coming. I was like,
trailer for Shaq. Yeah, that's so good. It is,
because you got to think his rookie year, he was just synonymous with breaking backboards. Like, you know, like I said, the two backboards he ends up breaking. He does the commercial, the Super Bowl commercial with all the NBA legends, which ends with him breaking the backboard. He goes on Arsenio Hall and raps a Foosh Nickens, and his final line is, slam it, jam it, make sure it's broke. Like, everything he does is all about breaking backboards. So this was like the rough, this is like, I don't know, like Biggie's demo tape before Ready to Die or something. Yeah, it's like, this was the teaser. Good. Like, this is good. Wait till you see the official thing, because this is just the teaser.
God damn, this is so good. Dan, you mentioned being worried for him. I couldn't agree more. You cannot show this clip to any mother and not have them gasp deeply. It's a deep, deep, real gasp when any mother sees this clip, because there's a violence as it happens, and his weight is really taken out. And the sound of the hoop, like, as the, because he holds on to the rim and the rim comes down and he smashes it into the wood behind him. It creates this great sound. Let's listen to it here quickly. Here we go.
Well, give me your best. Let me see your best.
I mean, it's just a fucking, it's like a stick of dynamite went off. And there it is, a very scary thing to watch, and that does add to its importance, to the moment here. There's the sound is violent, the fall is violent. David says that he's cut and he's bleeding. There is no grace to this. This is not within the context of a game. It's like a fucking shotgun blast, and then we're all just left to watch it. It's amazing.
Hey, David, can I talk quickly about those rap lyrics you just brought up? I don't know if you've seen this editorial. This editorial from New York Times in 1993. It is a scathing attack on players breaking backwards.
No, I haven't.
Is an incredible article to read decades on. And this is how it goes. In America's Celebrity Mart, yesterday's rhyme is today's rap. In one of the songs on his album released last summer, O'Neal brags, I jam it, I slam it, I make sure it's broke. What's wrong with these pictures and lyrics? O'Neal's commercial persona represents an insidious glorification of needless destruction. And, I mean, this guy takes shots at Daryl Dawkins. He calls him a one-trick dunce.
You know?
Should I disclose the author's name? I mean, he's still active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care. Is
Harvey Arreton.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. I'll send you the article. Dawkins developed a reputation of a one-trick dunce. He made up cute rhymes celebrating his worthless feats of strength that sent glass flying everywhere and delayed the game for up to an hour. Now, I'm pretty sure Dawkins wasn't a one-trick dunce. He had a pretty successful NBA career. And to take shots at him 14 years after it happened is It's you mad. It's you mad. That's what it is.
For sure. Fucking Harvey Arreton can get bent.
And the problem with these personal shots that people have taken over the years at guys breaking the backboard is that it's not a player transgression. It's an engineering failure that has resulted in what we observe.
Right.
It's the equipment has failed to resist the loads that is expected to resist during the course of the game. It's got nothing to do with the player.
And guys, I'm so sorry to bring this back to Jerome Lane and the incredible dunk that he had. But in that moment, afterward, as they're going to they're trying to figure out what to do next with the broadcast, Bill Raftery says, no reason for a technical foul, just inferior body equipment and superior strength. He'll be a hero. So, yes, I completely agree. This is about it. It's an engineering failure being brought on. It's basically John Henry beating the steam shovel, beating the train. Like, this is what we're talking about here. These feats of strength overcoming, the industrialization of our nation and of other nations as well. Shout out to Trieste. Like, there's just a lot to consider here about what the limits of human potential and how we surpass them via dunking.
It is inferior equipment.
Dan's really on the attack. I really appreciate that. Really fighting for his submission. I want Harvey Arreton to listen to this podcast and just rip it and fuck a new one. That would be so much fun. I would be an honor to have him insult this podcast over being
Our glass, Harvey.
He'll do it. Fuck, that turned me on. Holy shit.
Hey, well, Rod Thorne says after the Shaq season, right? Rod Thorne says, We had a new thing this year with backboards both coming down and being broken. We're going to make sure that all of our equipment is up to snuff. So the NBA admits it's an equipment issue. So Harvey can Harvey can jog on.
Oh, what a great Australian thing to say. That was a hardcore Australian thing to say.
Can y'all name the one player who actually shattered a glass during that 1992 season?
Chris Morris?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. And,
by the way, Chris Morris's dunk is fucking super cool in that, I mean, it sort of proves the thesis statement. What's the scientific fucking method? It proves the hypothesis that fucking broken backboard dunks are awesome because Chris Morris has one, and Chris Morris is awesome because he did it. And Chris Morris isn't generally cool for any other reason other than he cocked that thing behind his head, boofed it, and the glass shatters but does not fall out. I really appreciate that one.
Chris Morris gets credit for the raise the roof thing in the 90s.
Is that true?
When, during against the Bulls, the Jazz Bull series, he would do the raise the roof celebration, and a lot of people started talking about it. That's my Chris Morris story.
Hey, I've got to do my dunk here. I haven't submitted my dunk. We've already talked about this gentleman once or twice now here. My dunk happened November 13th, 1979. Now, the game footage is thin. For the most part, all of us have ever seen is the replay, and sorry to say, didn't get to watch the game tape otherwise. We're talking about Daryl Dawkins' first broken backboard. Again, November 13, 1979. The Philadelphia 76ers are playing the Kansas City Kings. I knew that the Kings used to play in Kansas City, but that's how long ago this dunk happened. The Philly is playing and ultimately lost to the Kansas City Kings. I don't know that the Kings here winning makes a difference. Dawkins played 30 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 4 points. This dunk that shatters the backboard is 2 of his 4 points. He had 8 boards, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. It's a really pathetic stat line, but the dunk is out of control. And my favorite stat is that 3 weeks after this first dunk against the Kansas City Kings, the first, in my opinion, the first, like, this is the seminal broken backboard dunk that is recorded on camera in the NBA that everyone knows. It's the originator. It is Godfather Part 1. And you could make the argument that Godfather Part 2 is the better movie, but Godfather 2 does not exist without Godfather 1. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no Empire Strikes Back without the original Star Wars. The originator needs the weight. This Dawkins dunk is awesome. 3 weeks later, he does it again. He breaks another backboard. I'm folding the second one kind of into the moment of the first. Cheating a little bit.
It's your show.
My eye test is I thank you so much. My eye test is I watch this dunk, the first Dawkins dunk against KC. Bill Robenzine, who I've never heard that name in my life. The only time I've ever heard the word Robenzine is in the nickname that Dawkins gave to this dunk, which we'll get to in a minute. Bill Robenzine is the player for the KC Kings who is left in the wake of the glass shattering. And in this moment, after this dunk, the glass really sheets. It sheets. He dunks this basketball. He two-hand stuffs it. The glass sheets out of the backboard and falls on Bill Robenzine. And what I really want to make a point to mention is that Bill Robenzine is really a gigantic baby in this moment. It's clear that he's very scared. He scrunches up his face. You can see him scrunch up his face. Oh, shit. He throws up his hands, and he really, like, tiptoes out of this downfall of the glass, this sheeting glass. One of Daryl's teammates on the bench steps over the bench to walk away from what's happened. That's a lot of fun. Another thing I spotted, both Jerome Lane, this is for Dan, both Jerome Lane and Daryl Dawkins are wearing pony sneakers during these dunks. Just something to think about. And for you, all you sneakerhead kids, you mad? Anybody mad about this? This is my goddamn favorite. I love it when someone's mad, and I have said previously on previous episodes, particularly I think maybe the first one we ever did, there's bonus points in you mad if you get an old white guy angry. And I've got a couple old white guys that are red hot pissed about Daryl Dawkins' dunk. This is in Kansas City I mean, by the by, bonus points. I tried to attack Michael Jordan by saying that the shatter happens on the recoil. Bonus points here for Dawkins' dunk, his first one, because it happens at an away game. It happens in the other team's arena. Fuck your court and your arena and all your bullshit that you have in here. You can't fucking control me. You can't contain me. That's what Dawkins did. Okay, you mad? Anybody mad? Yes, for certain. Craig Sager. Does anybody know this story?
Wow, no.
No.
Craig Sager.
This is so good.
is working at the news station across the street from the game, Dan Devine, and goes, I will run over to the game with the cameraman to tape interviews. He tapes an interview with some white guy that I presume works for the Kansas City Kings, maybe works for the state, the arena. I don't know who he is, but he has one of the great quotes ever about a broken backboard dunk. Let's listen to it together.
This is what's left of the Philadelphia 76ers backboard. And I know this has to be a disappointment to you and to all the fans.
Well, it's uncalled for, you know, it didn't have to happen. But that's Daryl Dawkins.
Get the fuck out of here. Old man, get out of here. That's Daryl Dawkins. It didn't have to happen. He didn't have to do this. Fuck off, dude. He absolutely 100% had to do it. That's just a little bit. And then there's another white guy that's angry. Let's listen to this clip. This is Daryl Dawkins' interview talking about the moment.
It was like, hey, this is the commissioner. And I went to my office tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. I was like, Lawrence O'Brien called me in. He said, it's dangerous. I want you to stop doing it. If you don't, it's going to be $5,000 every time you do it.
Larry O'Brien of the Larry O'Brien Trophy, former NBA commissioner, calls Dawkins into his office and says, I'm going to fine you $5,000 every time you do this.
Can I throw in the Kings GM?
Please.
He sent the 76ers a bill for $300 for the backboard.
Fuck.
And he said, it's not a part of basketball. It's a sideshow. We're supposed to be selling grace and ability of players like Phil Ford, Otis Birdsong, not stuff like that.
Holy shit. He sent a $300 bill. That's essentially the 1-3-1 zone. You hear what I'm saying? That's the coach playing the 1-3-1 zone. We've got these amazing moments of pettiness and going, you're giving me $300 for this backboard because this fucking dude broke it. This is a blast. This is exactly what I want this show to be.
Absolutely. I don't know who Phil Ford is.
Phil Ford had a whale of a game.
Is that Phil Ford, the coach?
Correct. Phil Ford... had a whale of, I think Phil Ford was the game's leading scorer. I think he had 30 right. in this game.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I want to also say for a moment that I submit my dunk. I'm going to say it. I don't know if this is going to make the show. I'm going to submit that my dunk and Shaq's inside stuff dunk. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to go even further. I'm so excited. I've got a real point I'm going to make. This is a goddamn laser. This is a laser slicing through everybody else's submissions. Shaq's dunk is in the context of a pre-taped segment with NBA Inside Stuff. He's fucking around. So, of course, he's trying as hard as he can to have the most explosive, best visual. He's got time. It's just a fucking Ahmad Rashad. He blows by him. Ahmad's in a goddamn tank top. Like, there's no pressure. Shaq's just having a ball. You know what I'm saying? Dawkins is within the context of a game, and it is maximum transfer of power during a game into the hoop. I submit that this Daryl Dawkins dunk is the best example of brute force, shattering from brute force. Jordan's happens on the recoil, I believe. There's something. Jerome Lane's the hoop is hanging from a thread hanging off the backboard. I think there was something structurally wrong with Dan's submission. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
It's Pittsburgh. I don't trust the integrity of shit in Pittsburgh. I think Dawkins in game is the cleanest example of raw power resulting in a broken backboard, and I'm staying with that. My X factor, the nickname.
Yes.
the Chocolate Thunder flying, because again, Dawkins' nickname is Chocolate Thunder, given to him by Stevie Wonder. So he calls this dunk the Chocolate Thunder flying, Robinzine crying, teeth shaking, glass breaking, rump roasting, bun toasting, wham bam, glass breaker, I am jam. That's phenomenal. And if Dawkins was still with us today, God rest his soul, he was dunking basketballs, and he'd be a goddamn social media maven. He'd be killing it. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, he has that dunk where he breaks the rim. He nicknames that one, get out of the way in, backboard swaying, game delaying. If you ain't grooving, you best get moving, dunk. I mean, these are fantastic. This is all fantastic. And one last little personal story that makes this dunk so special, and I believe makes it the best broken backboard dunk of all time. I saw Daryl Dawkins in Little Italy in New York City. My brother and I were walking through Little Italy, and I saw this gigantic dude leaning up against a light pole. And I look at him, and I'm like, fuck, that's Daryl Dawkins. And I yell, Daryl Dawkins. And Daryl Dawkins turns to us and reveals that he has a mountainous soft serve ice cream cone. It's huge. It's way past regulation soft serve cone, right? It's very, very tall. And he is licking the cone. Please excuse me. He's licking the cone from the cone all the way to the tip. And he turns and he's licking this cone, and he turns to us and he's got this big smile. He is confirming that he's Daryl Dawkins and licking this ice cream cone from the top of the cone to the tip of this ice cream, which again, super duper high. My brother is so excited in the moment that he could come up with nothing more than to say, you used to name your dunks, man. And that was it. That's my Daryl Dawkins moment. And it connects me in a deep way to Daryl Dawkins. And that's my submission.
I wound up writing the obituary for Yahoo when Daryl Dawkins passed away. And going through the clips and talking up to, you know, or, you know, reading through all those things to try to do the best job you can, because it's something really important when somebody passes away. There's a great quote in a 1988 Sports Illustrated story where the journalist asked him, like, because, you know, you mentioned like the way that his career was viewed. Maybe he wasn't like a super duper star talent player, but like a very colorful character. And so they ask him, like, would you change anything if you could do it all over again? Quote, Dawkins doesn't even pause to reflect on the question. He's answered it to himself many times. No, he said, shaking his head. I wouldn't change a damn thing. I always liked being Daryl Dawkins.
Fucking A. What a great sentence. Who wouldn't love being Daryl Dawkins? Oh my God. Here is something Shaq said. Here's a quote I found Shaq said about Daryl Dawkins himself.
Daryl Dawkins is the father of Power Duncan. I'm just one of his sons. Probably his best son, matter of fact.
a great Shaq line. But I just want to say, if we're debating, you know, Dan's been on the offensive, let me for a moment. The Shaq dunk has to be behind this Dawkins dunk, because Shaq just fucking said it. He's his son.
It's the Osiris of this shit.
I agree.
Gentlemen, we've had a blast. I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. We've gone through the dunks. We've gone through the submissions. It's time to go to the next credential. It's time for the cosign. I need a vote from all of you on the induction of these moments. We're going to put a poll on social media, Ball's Life, our handles at First Ballot Pod on Twitter, at First Ballot HOF on Instagram. I realize those should be the same. We want you to tell us which is the best dunk of all time. I want the gentleman with us today to tell us which of these dunks belongs in the First Ballot Hall of Fame. Dan Devine, you went first. The floor is yours. The mic is yours. Which of these four submissions do you believe belongs in the First Ballot Hall of Fame?
I can't believe I've gotten the honor to go first twice here. This is incredible. Naked self-interest would lead me in one direction here, and would lead me to just ruthlessly plug my own work and suggest that I think it should be Jerome Lane. However,
oof.
I find the argument that Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins, created a lane that everybody else was then able to skate through and fill. The Jerome Lane would not have been able to fill that lane if not for Chuck with Thunder Darrell Dawkins. Right. I find that argument to be compelling.
Yeah.
And I find I'm getting emotional thinking about it. I believe if only one of these four is right. going to go into the rafters, Got I think it. It should be Chocolate Thunder, Darrell Dawkins.
But okay, so I will extend you this. First off, thank you. I take that as a personal compliment to what I've done here today. I want to now extend to you the power to say, if I gave you the permission, and I am doing so right now, if I give you the permission to put in more than one, are you putting in anything else?
I am putting in Send It In Jerome.
Got it. Clear. Got it. Dan, naked self-interest, not hiding it at all. From the beginning of this episode until now.
Extraordinarily clear.
Extraordinarily clear. He has a horse in this race. It's Jerome Lane. He's putting into the first Bell Hall of Fame. Okay, here we go. David Ostrowskis, the floor is yours. Which of these dunks, which of these four submissions deserves induction to the first Bell Hall of Fame?
As much as I love my moment, it's personal to me, but I don't think it actually belongs in the Hall of Fame. Send It In Jerome has the most memorable soundbite to me, and yeah. it's almost like a meme. It's like people will say, I think there's people on the internet, they don't even know where it's from, but people will just use that audio clip on
That's
other
right.
videos and stuff, yeah. or people will just say it. So that gets a vote higher than the Shaq one, but I got to go with Darrell Dawkins just because it's the original backboard. Yep. Breaking dunk. I know Chuck Connors gets credit as the first guy NBA player to break a backboard, but he did it on a missed shot, so that doesn't count. That's actually a fact. That Chuck Connors, the actor from The Rifleman, broke the first NBA backboard, but he did it on a missed shot. But yeah, so I'm going with my late friend Darrell Dawkins, and I just want to throw in one more kind of little interesting fun thing. So Shaq once said in a Sports Illustrated article while he was in college that he studies rimology, and he goes, it's just the way he studies basketball goals. And he goes, every arena he goes into, he would examine the rim, and you know, with the hope that one day he'll be able to tear one of these down. And then actually at the end of the inside stuff segment, I don't know if it made it to the one down the show or not. When Ahmad Rashad says, I guess that's what he means by rimology. So I just thought that was kind of a cool callback to that article.
A late finish line push from David Ostrowskis to try and get this Shaq moment into the hall doesn't seem to be working right now. We've got a vote for Jerome Lane and two votes for Darrell Dawkins. Has he swayed you, Paul? The floor is yours. You get to vote. Is it the Tree Stay Jordan dunk? Is it Jerome? Send It In Jerome. Is it Shaq's inside stuff, or is it the
Chocolate Thunder? Yours.
Chocolate. I couldn't remember the nickname. It's so long. The Chocolate Thunder Robinson crying, whatever the hell called dunk.
So Michael Jordan's dunk in Trieste is unique simply because of the fact of its anonymity and its rebirth. You know, it would have been the subject of much talk in Piazza, but it certainly wasn't being dissected in barbershops until recently. However, there's no doubt that Darrell Dawkins' first dunk should be inducted into the first ballot Hall of Fame. He knows how good it was. It was an accident. That first one, he says, was an accident. And I suppose the thing with Darrell Dawkins is he knows his stands out above all others. And there's a moment that I recall that sort of exemplifies this. It's the 2008 slam dunk contest where Darrell Dawkins is a judge, and I don't know if you remember this. Gerald Green takes off his shoes for one of his dunks, walks up, puts the ball between his legs, and dunks the thing in socks. An impressive dunk. And he goes back to his shoes, he signs them, and puts them on the judge's table. And Darrell Dawkins just simply swipes the shoes off the table. And I don't know what happened to those shoes. But it just, to me, it just showed that Darrell was like, nah, this is not in my league. Don't bring your footwear to me. Don't suggest that your dunking is on par to what my accomplishments were, because You can dunk in socks as much as you like. I tore down a backboard. The whole thing just shattered. I put Robinson's name in the in the dunk itself. You're not on my level. You're not on my level.
Incredible. A fantastic job by all three of you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for doing this. It's time for the induction speech. That's when I and Neil get to decide. We've got a 3 out of 3 vote for Daryl Dawkins. It was my submission. I want to be clear about something. This is my show. I do feel a little embarrassed that it's landed on this being my dunk. It was not my intention. I want to be clear. Everyone made their choice, and I chose what was left. Paul chose his first. Dan then picked Jerome Lane. David had this phenomenal, behind-the-scenes audio from the Shaq Ahmad Rashad thing, and I was left with Daryl Dawkins. So this isn't so much about me, although I did do a fantastic job of presenting it, clearly. Daryl Dawkins' dunk is 100% in the first Bell Hall of Fame. Plaque it right now on the wall forever. I want to go back and think just for a moment about Jerome Lane. The 1-3-1 zone really made my heart sing. That might be my favorite detail to come out of this episode. And it so closely gets me to putting Trieste in, but I can't do it because we need to hold the bar high at the first Bell Hall of Fame. We got to do it. The Shaq dunk is my personal favorite, and it's akin to the Sean Kemp when he dunks on Gatling and then daps him up. That's my favorite Sean Kemp dunk. But it's not in the first Bell Hall of Fame. Paul made the great point during that recording that we don't want to diminish what Chris Gatling did. And if we put it in the first Bell Hall of Fame, maybe it's at the cost of Chris Gatling. So for that reason, that dunk is not in. But it is my personal favorite. Shaq's dunk in the Shaq's inside stuff is my favorite of these glass broken dunks. But it's also not going in the first Bell Hall of Fame. I want to revisit Jerome Lane, and I want to do it together as a group. Is there something that we've heard in this podcast about the Send It In Jerome, that is it, does it have that extra spice that it needs to get into the first Bell Hall of Fame? Clearly a great call, clearly a great dunk, the explosion, the glass. Does it have that X factor? Does it have that MVP, that most valuable part that puts it in? What is it?
Can I talk about Send It In Jerome?
Yeah,
the raftery line, like it, on the surface, it's clunky. However, it's perfect. And Raftery admits, he says, obviously I wasn't a straight A's student coming out with something like that. However, it sticks. He sent it home in the most explicit way possible. There's nothing wrong with that call, and I think that certainly gives it an edge. Both the Raftery call and the fact that we have audio of the shattering.
Dan, the floor is yours. Is there what are you putting forward as like the thing that makes this moment extra special?
It essentially mints Bill Raftery as an iconic voice.
That's true.
In the history of color commentary, that and Onions and whatever else. But like, this is the thing. This has followed him throughout. And the thing that I keep coming back to with it is, It's like it was edited together. The contact that Lane makes with the defender and then the simultaneous motion of the ball going through the rim and it coming down. It's like that. Like, it wasn't any wasted movement, any wasted time, all instantaneous. And that simultaneity of it is what leads to the silence of the announcers, because they're sitting there going,
yes.
What the yes. fuck?
Yes.
So you get the space in the moment to sort of wrangle with the enormity of it. And then the only things that can happen are a man whose job it is to speak professionally screaming, yeah. And then Bill Raftery yelling, Send It In Jerome.
Yeah.
And so there's like, it's, I don't know, it's like a Pixies song. It's loud, quiet, loud. And then you have the explosion of it. And to me that, I can understand other people making other choices. I myself have, spoken in favor of Chocolate Thunder. But when I think of a backboard breaking dunk in the context of a game, this will always be the one that I think of.
That's really good. That's really good. I like that. I like everything you've just posited. You've also got the glass ring, which is fantastic. You have Jerome Lane, who's never gotten it. You've got the Jerome Lane quote saying he tried to do it every time for the rest of his life and never got there. It's truly a moment for Jerome Lane.
Is this not a podcast about moments? Is this not a podcast about moments?
Let's put it in, Dan. Let's put it in Jerome Lane. Yes! Let's put it, send it in, Jerome.
Send it in!
Send it into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. Oh, my God. Fantastic. Gentlemen, how can people follow you? Dan, you go first. How can people follow you? What can you plug? A fantastic episode.
I feel like I just had a flu game. I'm flailing down here. Follow me on social media at Your Man Divine. Find my work at yahoosports.com. You can follow the podcast. Divine Intervention comes out weekly. No Cap Room with Jake Fisher comes out weekly. You can find those on the Ball Don't Lie Podcast Network, anywhere you get your podcast or if you're listening to this. Follow First Ballot Pod also, because I'm now 2 for 2 in the First Ballot Pod, and I can't stress enough that I have a 100% success rate on this show. Maybe I need a plaque. I'm just saying, putting it out there. This has been an extraordinarily great way for me to spend some time. Thank you so much for having me.
Paul, everyone already follows Dunk Comp. If they don't follow Dunk Comp, you're a goddamn idiot. It's the best basketball mixtape, period. It makes my heart sing. I really enjoy it. It makes me happy every single time I see a video. You guys, at the time we're recording this, you just put out the Jokic game winner against the Warriors. Beautiful, lovely piece of video that heightens my appreciation as an NBA fan. What are you working on? How can people follow you?
And that Jokic video is the work of our creative director, Mike Corbett, who is putting out some incredible stuff at the moment. So if you go to dunkcomp.com, all the links are there. We'll just continue to put out both contemporary and throwback pieces throughout the season. And I also want to thank Francesco Zago of the Triestina and the basketball community of Trieste for helping me with some of these details. They came through at very short notice. So big thanks to them.
Paul got some fucking Italians to help him out with this pitch. This is fantastic. Also, Mike Corbett, we got to get you on the show, buddy. 100% we got to get you on the show. David Ostramski is my Ball's Life producer. What are you working on? How can people follow you?
You can follow my work on a lot of these like real shitty, lazy basketball aggregator accounts that just steal content.
Broken glass everywhere.
No, and you know, a lot of these YouTube videos that you I'm just gonna be the asshole now. Honestly, you know what I can't stand? Or actually, no, I'm gonna say this. You can always tell when someone has lived through a moment and when someone is just doing internet research. And it's like there's a lot of accounts, YouTube videos and stuff. You could tell they're just doing the half-ass internet research and then they're pulling out some stuff. And yeah. But anyways, you can follow me at Red Apples on Twitter. But honestly, I mainly just talk about, I think, movies and just like random collectibles that no one's going to care about. And, you know, follow Ball is Life and follow Dunk Comp because it's my favorite basketball account.
Best. They're the best. Hell yeah. You guys were all fantastic. This was honestly, maybe this might have been the most fun episode I've recorded. I really appreciate you guys for doing it. Thank you so much. That's it. That's the show. My deep and appreciative thanks to Dan Devine, David Ostramski, and Paul from Dunk Comp. That was honestly a blast for me. One of the best times I've had on this show. Thanks for making it happen, fellas. Credits. Roberto Benigni-Arucci is my editor and partner. Jessica Tseng runs the show. EJ Cabasal is my producer. David Ostramski is the plug at Ball's Life. Rhythm J makes all the beats. Follow him on social at Rhythm J. Rate and review us, and please come back next week for more First Ballot. Now here's the drop from Robbie.
It didn't have to happen, but that's Daryl Dawkins.